All right, it is January 19th. We are one day away from Donald Trump being inaugurated as President of the United States. We are 24 hours away. We have got a lot that has transpired in the past week alone. We've got a peace negotiation that is underway. We have a major, major app that has just been shut down, affecting hundreds of millions of Americans, small businesses, entrepreneurs. Wait till we get into that. We've got a lot to talk about on that. We've got things that are happening with Trump and him rubbing elbows and getting cozy with big tech giants. Why all of a sudden these people hated Trump, but now all of a sudden they're drooling over him. All of a sudden, they're rolling out the red carpet for Trump. All of a sudden, they're changing the way they allow their platforms to operate. What in the world is going on? There is a lot of alarm bells that are ringing for me. And I want to present all these today, and we've got a lot to talk about, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So without further ado, let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Sunday, January the 19th. As I said at the opening introduction of this podcast today, we are 24 hours away from Donald Trump officially being sworn in as the President of the United States, meaning that we are about to see major transition take place in as far as powers go in America. And I'm going to tell you, whenever there is a transition of powers in the natural, there is a transition, there is activity, there is things going on in the heavenlies, in the spiritual world. And I'm telling you, there is things happening that are unfolding right now that are, in my opinion, are very noteworthy of red flags throwing up everywhere. So we're going to get in a lot of this. And before we get started, guys, I would love for you to do me a favor. Hit that like button wherever you're watching from, YouTube, Rumble. If you're listening by Apple or Spotify, we welcome you as well. And of course, we would love for you guys to give us a good review. If you enjoy our content and you find value in what we bring to the table here, and that's going to help us get eyes on our platforms by you guys hitting that like button and giving us a good review. And then you can take it a step further. Why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And if we have anybody new, if it's your first time joining us, maybe you're coming over from TikTok, maybe you're coming from Instagram or X or Facebook or whatever, and you're just joining us for the first time here on YouTube or Rumble, whatever the case may be, why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And if you're new, let us know where you guys are joining us from. We'd love to hear from you in the comment section below. So again, we've got a lot to unravel, guys, so I'm going to need your attention. If you'll give me your attention for the next 45 minutes or so, I promise you we're going to break out a lot of stuff here that maybe you overlooked. But I'm seeing this, and it's alarming to me. So let's bring up this first article. This is fresh out the gate. All right, Trump warns that all hell will break out if Israel and Hamas ceasefire deal collapses. Now, as of the latest report, Hamas has freed three Israeli hostages under this Gaza ceasefire deal. According to the report, the Red Cross has delivered the first batch of hostages out of Gaza and into Israeli custody on Sunday after the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas has taken effect. Israel exchanged dozens of Palestinian prisoners for three female hostages, and the three women are said to be in good health. These are the first of 33 hostages set to be released over the first phase of the ceasefire, which is set to last 5 weeks. In exchange, Israel has agreed to release 90 Palestinian prisoners. The Israeli government decided that the Israeli Defense Force will remain in Gaza until the last hostage is freed. but they will move back to a security zone along the Gaza border that provides security for residents living there. The plan is a new defense approach and is still being finalized under the IDF Southern Command. Now, I want to go back to what Trump said. Now, this is from the New York Post. Incoming President Trump warned all hell will break out, if the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas, slated to go in effect on today, collapses. Now, remember, this is a 5-week process. Less than 48 hours before his return to the White House, Trump was asked whether he believed the hostages would be freed by Hamas under the 3-stage accord the two sides have signed off on earlier this week. Now, I want to highlight this because, again, this is what we would call a peace accord. Now, I want to just emphasize something here. I have said from the beginning that Trump would be absolutely instrumental in the Middle East. Now, I said this even as far as Bible prophecy, because if you go to the book of Daniel, let me just pull this away and just talk to you for a minute. I'll bring this back up. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, it tells you that when the Antichrist officially confirms a treaty, this is when many scholars believe this is what will be the trigger point or the initiation of this 7-year tribulation of Daniel 9:27. If people's asked for years, where do you get that it'll be 7 years? Well, that's it, Daniel 9:27. And then if you go into the actual tribulation, you can find this in the book of Revelation. It's literally, you see there's a period of where it's broken up and divided into 3.5 years or 3.5 years or 42 months and 42 months. The first 42 months is peace and safety, because watch this. There has been a process of negotiations or treaties that have been put in place by other world leaders involving Israel and surrounding nations. And then in Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist, whomever he will be, will come in and he will literally confirm something that's already been established. He's not going to make a new treaty. He's going to confirm something that's already been put in place. So I have always said, based on that scripture and the understanding of that, there is going to be a series of treaties, plural tense, that will be put in place involving the nation of Israel and surrounding nations in the name of peace and safety. All of this will be the framework that will be constructed or built leading up to the main signing or confirmation of Daniel 9:27 that will be done by the Antichrist. Now, again, this man, Donald Trump, will absolutely be instrumental in this process. Whether you love him, you hate him, you like him, you don't like him, whether you voted for him, whether you didn't vote for him, prophecy must continue. It must continue to accelerate. It will move forward. Okay? So having said that, and this is why, this is one of the major red flags that I have, because people are excited about this. Here is this initial peace and safety, okay? But we know that there is a principle based on what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in his writings, and he says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Okay, and again, let me go back to the Trump being a vessel or an instrument to accelerate this process. He already accelerated this with the Abraham Accords, wherein which, again, he has taken Middle Eastern nations and he is, again, making this pact of peace. He's signing these peace treaties, if you would. And these negotiations. And again, all of this is building the framework for where we go, for where we're heading in Bible prophecy. So when he makes this statement, wherein which he says, if this ceasefire deal, treaty, if you would, if it collapses between now and 5 weeks. Now, before everybody gets excited because Hamas released 3 hostages, remember, they've got a lot left to release according to this deal over the next 5 weeks. If this thing collapses, as Trump is warning, then Trump is saying that all hell will break out. Now, guys, this completely agrees with this principle. When they say peace and safety, every one of us who understand the times and seasons in which we're in, we understand prophecy. We know that when any of these world leaders start talking about peace and safety involving treaties and frameworks, you can take it to the bank. It's not going to hold. Now, it may hold for a season. It may hold up for a while, a year, a couple months, 2 years, but eventually it will collapse, because the only peace that's ever truly going to come on somebody, is when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the true Messiah, returns and sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. That will be the true peace. Until then, all of these so-called peace treaties and negotiations are literally stepping stones and framework that's being constructed to build and pave the way for the future Antichrist. And I'm going to remind you guys that when Daniel 9:27 happens and the Antichrist signs this peace treaty, the world will be in jubilation. The world will celebrate. And it'll be a false sense of peace and security that will even dupe Israel, because it will convince Israel to, in my opinion, to lower their guard, lower their arms. They will lower the gates, lower the bars. And then again, all of this is setting the stage for this major war of Ezekiel 38, 39, Gog, Magog, that the prophet told us when that war takes place, it will happen during a time when Israel is dwelling in a time of peace and safety and security, neither without wall. They'll have neither walls nor bars. That cannot be fulfilled today, guys, because there is both walls and bars, and they're definitely not dwelling in safety. All right, so what? I know we took a little bit of time to build this up, but this is where we're at, okay? So, and again, when you couple this with these blood moons, howbeit one that is coming in 2 months that will happen on Purim. We've already talked about this, so I don't want to rehash too much of this. Go back and watch our archives and where in which we discussed this blood. There's three blood moons coming, two of which both fall. One is this year, one is next year, both falling on the season of Purim. That it directly involves Iran, aka Persia. Now, here we have Donald Trump, who will be coming into office. And wait till I tell you all the stuff, the crazy stuff that's centered around his inauguration tomorrow. We intercessors need to be praying. Prayer warriors need to be praying. But under his presidency, he's going to be facing the Middle East. He's going to be facing all these terror factions. He's going to be he's going to be placed right in the middle of Israel's war on seven fronts. Now, again, it's interesting. Everything has calmed down. It seems like, again, we're entering in that season of peace and security, or peace and safety. But I want to encourage all my brothers and sisters that are watching and listening to this, that don't you let your guard down. Don't you fall for this false narrative that, hey, Trump is back in office. Everything's great. Everything's dandy. It's going to be wonderful. Now, I know there's preachers out there. There's podcasters. There's influencers. There's whatever that they're, I mean, they ride that Trump train all the way to the end. And they think now that Trump's back in office, this is going to be the greatest days of the kingdom of God, and it's going to be a euphoria, utopia, excuse me. It's going to be euphoric. It's going to be a utopia. It's going to be a kingdom now. It's going to be an amazing time. And again, so I, as a watchman, I'm not falling for this peace and safety stuff, because I know that when they stay peace and safety, the sudden destruction is coming. So it will see. We have 5 weeks. Three hostages, as of the recording of this, are being released. by Hamas, and we have 5 more weeks. Now, consequently, I know I'm not going to pull this up because YouTube will flag me for it, okay? But I'm going to just tell you what's going on. Many of the Hamas terrorists have come out of hiding to celebrate the new ceasefire agreement with Israel. Now, guys, this doesn't sound right to me. This is major red flags for me. Something's fishy about this. Shameless gun-wielding fighters were seen waving the green banner of their group and the crest of its armed militia. And again, there's all kinds of photos on this. You can go online. We're not going to post them because we don't want to get flagged. All of this is happening. And again, this, I've never seen ever in the 25 years. Wow. It's unbelievable. 25 years that I've been serving the Lord. 15 years that I've been in ministry with End Time Headlines. I've never seen one time where Hamas has celebrated a ceasefire. The last thing they want is peace. This group does not want peace. Just look what they did on October 7th. That is the manifesto of their agenda. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So this to me is fishy. Something is not right, guys. I'm telling you, something's off. Something's not right. And it's weird. Okay. Now, since we're on this train, let's keep riding on this thought here. Talk about things that are weird and don't add up. You remember the last time Trump was president, from 2016 to 2020, all of the big tech giants, we're talking about Jeff Bezos, we're talking about Mark Zuckerberg, we're talking about Bill Gates, because he's in the elites. All of these, Jack Dorsey, a former CEO of Twitter, all of them, even Google, all the Silicon Valley folks, all of them hated Trump. They used their influence, their platforms, and all of the arsenal that they had in their disposal to shadow ban. I mean, Twitter literally banned Trump from their platform. Facebook, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember. Didn't they ban Donald Trump at one time and then reinstate him? I can't remember if they did or not. But YouTube, all of these platforms heavily censored, shadow banned, and banned or removed completely Trump from their platforms. And anyone that echoed what Trump said, they too met the same fate. Now, here we go. We fast forward and we're in 2025. And now we have Trump that once again coming back into office as president of the United States of America. Now, remember, the World Economic Forum has warned that the greatest threat to humanity in the next 3 years is misinformation and disinformation. Remember, they sounded this alarm, and all the big tech giants all cheered it on, and they all agreed. And this is why the censorship continues. The shadow banning continues. All of that stuff has continued to roll on as it was. Then all of a sudden, just 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something major began to shift and change that caught my attention. I don't know if you've paid attention to this, but all of a sudden, all of these same guys, now all of a sudden, they have changed their tune. Now they want to rub elbows with Trump. Now they're going to Mar-a-Lago to have dinner with him, to sit down with him, have a talk with him. Zuckerberg, Bezos, even Bill Gates. Look at this. I want to show you this. Of all the people, guys, this is unbelievable. Look at this article. Bill Gates had an intriguing three-hour dinner with Trump, and he said, quote, "I was frankly impressed." Now, remember, this is the guy, and again, I got to be careful what I say here. Remember, this was the guy that last time Trump was in office was accusing him of spreading misinformation, fear-mongering, conspiracies. He was putting the American people in danger because Trump spoke out against certain things or certain policies that was put in place because of the pandemic. But now, all of a sudden, billionaire Bill Gates, one of these many elites, has revealed he recently had an intriguing three-hour dinner with Trump, and he was left frankly impressed by their sit-down. Quote, "I had a chance about 2 weeks ago to go have a long and actually quite intriguing dinner with him." This was according to a interview with the Wall Street Journal. The Microsoft co-founder said much of the wide-ranging dinner table chat focused on, quote, global health challenges. I want you to keep this at the forefront of your mind. Global health challenges. Quote, "I felt like he was energized and looking forward to helping drive innovation." I want you to keep that in your mind. There's a couple things I want you to make some, put a little, a tent peg up so you can remember this stuff. Global health challenges. And Gates says that Trump felt like that Trump, or Gates says that he felt like Trump was energized and looking forward to helping drive innovation. The tech titan said of Trump, quote, "I was frankly impressed with how well he showed a lot of interest in the issues I brought up." Well, what did Mr. Gates bring up? According to the report, they were joined by incoming White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles and one of Gates' staffers. The four of us sat there and it was quite wide-ranging. Quote, "I spoke a lot about HIV and the Gates Foundation is literally working on a cure for that. Oh boy. We're at an early stage and so he and the days accelerated the innovation," he said. "So I was asking him if maybe the same kind of thing could be done here." Let me say that again. This is Gates and Trump having a conversation wherein which Gates is telling him, "We're working on a cure for HIV. Then he goes in and says that he in the days accelerated the innovation. So he was talking about Trump helped accelerate him and Gates both. Remember, and by the way, I just want to remind you, it was Trump that is the one who thrusted this out there. Remember Operation Warp Speed? This was that had very little trial time and it was pushed out on the American people. So you had a whole group of people that was literally the test patients, the guinea pigs. Let me read on here. "So I was asking him if maybe the same kind of thing could be done here." Wow. And this is all going to make sense, guys. I'm telling you, I hope I'm wrong on the assessment I'm about to show you, but I'm telling you, I feel sick to my stomach about this. I feel something's off here big time. "And we both got, I think, pretty excited about that." Again, excited about what? The acceleration of the innovation. Okay? The cures, the innovations for these jabs. "We talked about polio, and we were very close to getting that done. But if you stop, it'll spread back," he continued. And he was fascinated to hear what he could do to maximize the chance that during the next 4 years, that incredible milestone would be achieved. Now, you may say, well, why is that fascinating? Let me show you this headline. Let me pull this up here. Trump and Biden officials begin talks on bird flu crisis. Well, let's see what the details of their talks are, shall we? Amid an escalating And I highlight escalating bird flu outbreak spreading in the U.S. Federal health officials have begun to brief members of the incoming Trump administration about how they've responded to the crisis so far. And by the way, as a recording of this, in my state, in the state of Georgia, they have banned all poultry production because there has been bird flu that's been detected at a major poultry distributor here in the state of Georgia. Quote, we sent them all of the information on our work, said a Biden administration health official familiar with transition briefings within the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It's the first indication that the two administrators appear to be working together to prioritize the H5N1 response. Until now, it was unclear whether the Biden White House and Trump's incoming health team had discussed bird flu in any transition meetings. A lack of coordination between the two groups would have huge consequences. Public health officials and infectious disease experts warn they worry that the H5N1 virus has the potential to set off another pandemic. Quote, you've got something that's clearly evolving here in the U.S., said Dr. Cameron Wolf, who is an infectious disease expert and professor of medicine at Duke University Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina. Now, guys, I want to stop here for a second. The reason, if you guys are listening by Apple, Spotify, it probably sounds a little weird when I stop and I emphasize certain words. It's because you guys that are watching the visual of this, it's because I'm highlighting words for a reason. All because I'm showing you these for a reason, because we're building the puzzle pieces here together and building the case in which I'm presenting today. Sharing surveillance information, interesting, sharing surveillance information and resources is crucial to understanding and getting ahead of emerging viral threats like bird flu. This was according to a professor at the Harvard T. Chan School of Public Health, who was Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services for Health in the Obama administration. These teams have a shared responsibility to, quote, prioritize continuity of operations. And that means maximizing preparedness to the fullest. Let me say that again. This means maximizing preparedness to the fullest, especially after, he said, anything else is, quote, unacceptable. Now here, look at this. Neither Trump nor his pick for Health and Human Service Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has publicly suggested how the Trump administration would handle the outbreak. Wow. Notice they didn't say how they would handle if there was an outbreak. They said how they would handle the outbreak. What's more, Kennedy's team has signaled it didn't see value in seeking input from Biden health officials. All right, I want to read this. Quote, a pandemic due to bird flu is a looming threat. This was according to Schaffner, who, as we transition from the one administration to another, coordinating public health concepts and policies is, of course, very important. Now, look at this headline. Quote, the CDC is urging faster testing to find human bird flu cases. All right, let's read this. The CDC on Thursday urged labs nationwide to determine within 24 hours of admission whether people hospitalized with the flu have seasonal influenza or infected with the bird flu that's behind an escalating outbreak in dairy cows and poultry. Wow, guys. The guidance for labs to do this type of testing has been in place since last fall, but the process has been slow, with many hospitals sending flu samples out for testing in bulk every few days. By the time those results come back, patients have often already been sent home. That could hinder bird flu investigations as days and weeks pass. It would be difficult for people to recall where they may have been exposed to the virus. Quote, the more time that goes by, the more memories fade and the harder it is to identify a potential source. What's more, their close contacts may be, quote, beyond the window for preventative medications like Tamiflu. The latest CDC alert says testing for bird flu should move more quickly, ideally within 24 hours of a person's hospital admission. The system right now tells us what has already happened. What we need is a shift to a system that tells us what's happening in the moment. All right, we got to stop here for a second, because I know this has been a lot to digest, and we're about 35 minutes into this thing. So now we have Trump that's coming into office. He's got the Middle East on his plate with Israel and surrounding nations that were that is a it is at an all-time boiling level at this point. You have this negotiation of peace and safety that he has warned if this thing collapses, that all hell is going to take place. Now we have what looks like is all indicators pointing that he, Trump, is now going to face very possibly yet another pandemic. Think about it. This is what he had to deal with the last time he was president. And here we are again, and we're seeing this rinse and repeat again. And this could be all. And isn't it interesting that I'm going to say this? Let me go back to this thought, because I don't want to just hang my hat on the Bill Gates meeting. Isn't it interesting that Trump just had a 3-hour meeting with Bill Gates, who it seems like the whole focal point of the entire dialogue of conversation was on jabs and cures. And he is stating that he was impressed with Trump and how Trump is wanting to work hand in hand with Bill Gates. What in the world is going on? All right, Mark Zuckerberg, we all know this. He came out and he said, hey, we're not going to ban you anymore. We're not going to censor freedom of speech anymore. We're going to change our whole system. We're going to get rid of independent fact checkers. What? Pinch me, because I know I am not awake. Jeff Bezos, another one that's drooling over Trump, rubbing elbows with Trump. What is going on, guys? This has got me concerned. Okay, now please don't give me this whole, well, they all fear Trump and they know he's the sheriff in town and they don't want trouble with Trump. Guys, they're not afraid of Trump. You realize all these people, you realize what kind of power and what kind of involvement all these people have and the groups that are all interconnected with one another? Are you kidding me? Something doesn't smell right here. Something's going on, guys. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't fully trust this Elon Musk character. This guy has way too much power, too much money, and too much influence, and too much technological know-how and advancement in his resume, if you would. And it terrifies me. I'm just going to be honest with you. The way this guy talks about biohacking and transhumanism and wanting to put chips in people's brains, and the fact that he bought X and now he's one of the potential buyers for TikTok. Can we talk about that for a second as well? And I'll go back to this, because I told you we got a lot to talk about. So much has happened. So now the TikTok's going to get banned. It's not. It is. It's not. It is. And then yesterday it was taken down officially. But look at this. This is from Fox News. TikTok begins restoring service after Trump vows day one executive order. Now look what it says here. TikTok said it was in the process of restoring operations in the U.S. on Sunday. Now guys, I pulled up my phone, and sure enough, look what it says here. Let's see if we can zoom in. Let me put on the camera and look what it says here. It says, welcome back. Thanks for your patience and support. As a result of President Trump's efforts, TikTok is back in the United States. You can continue to create, share, and discover all the things you love on TikTok. So again, guys, I'm telling you, this is weird. Everybody hated Trump's guts. Now they love him. I'll be the first one to tell you, look, let me use me, because if I talk about me, nobody else will get mad. Okay. I will be the first to tell you, I voted for the guy. Yes. I voted for Trump because he was the best option we had. Okay. But does this mean I fully am blind to what I'm seeing? No. But he is the best, and I voted because I'm a U.S. citizen, and it is my it is my duty as a citizen to vote. I have a, there was blood that was shed for the freedoms for me to be given the right to vote. So I exercise my freedoms to vote. And I did. And I will tell you, I voted for Trump. But I, is anybody else out there? Just talk to me. Let me know in the comment section below. Let me know in the chat, in the comments. Does it just kind of freak you out a little bit that all the world hated Trump, but all of a sudden now, everybody's drooling over this guy. Everybody loves him. He's the hero. I mean, this is the Batman that's saving Gotham. He saved TikTok. The young people love Trump now all of a sudden. So there, guys, there's two things, one of two things are happening right now. There is a major shift happening where we're getting a reprieve from a lot of things, or I should say three things could be happening. One is that, the reprieve. Number two is we're being set up. Because is it possible that Trump is in cahoots with all these people? Let me go back. I told you I'm all over the place, guys. Y'all just have to bear with me. This is like an ADHD moment. Elon Musk, who again is in the Trump administration, has all this innovation, technology, all these resources. He has bought out a major social media platform. He's in the batter's box of potentially buying TikTok. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing or a terrifying thing that this man could own TikTok and X. And again, this is the same guy that wants robots in every home of Americans. He wants brain chips. He drools over transhumanism. And even states that he looks for the day that we can merge with metal. He talks about, and this guy's even sounded the alarm over the invention of artificial intelligence and how it can go too far and it can literally be the end of humanity as we know it. But yet this guy just has all this power and this influence, and he's literally in the administration of this next presidency of the next 4 years. Now, I know it could be worse. We could be under Sleepy Joe, or we could be under Kamala Harris. Guys, I'm just telling you, I'm going to make this really simple for you. I feel like that we could be getting a reprieve. I think there is a cultural shift happening. People are tired of the woke agenda. People are waking up to this. But guys, don't get all excited about this, because again, I want to warn you, prophecy must happen. And the spirit of lawlessness, the spirit of iniquity that was already working in Paul's day will continue to work so until the revealing of the lawless one. So that tells me it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Now, again, peace and safety, there's that season of false hope and false security. And I believe we could be at the beginning, initial stages of that. Things are getting nuts and they're getting crazy. And I sat back and wondered, and I can't be the only one that sat back and wondered, what is going on? Why does the United States government have such, why are they so hell-bent, if you would, on banning TikTok? Now, of course, the official narrative is it is because it poses a national security concern. Okay. Now, why? Because TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is based in China, and it raises concern about the Chinese government's access to user data under Chinese data security laws. So thus the critics, and many of these are government officials in the White House and in Congress and so on and so forth, worried that the app could share, quote, sensitive U.S. User data with the Chinese government through TikTok, or even though TikTok has denied these claims, and even the founder of TikTok, which again, another big tech giant who is consequently going to be setting in a really nice position and is going to be present at Trump's inauguration. Again, this is another one. Crazy stuff. Now, here's what's insane to me. So they're telling us, I'm going to pull up some of my notes here because I don't want to miss this. I want to make sure that I get this right. Even though we're being told that TikTok has to go down, it has to be brought down because it's a national security threat. It's collecting data of Americans. Well, guys, if that's true, why are they not going after all these other platforms like Shein, S-H-E-I-N? This is a fashion e-commerce platform offering affordable and trendy clothing, accessories, and home goods. It's known for its extensive inventory and regular addition of new items. This is a mobile app with personalized recommendations. It gives discounts, et cetera, et cetera. It's very popular in the United States. Then you have Temu. This is a marketplace app. Again, the same thing, offering variety of goods, including clothing, extremely low prices. And again, this competes directly with Shein. Again, both of these are Chinese apps. So you're telling me that TikTok is a great threat, but these two major platforms are not. How is it that they want TikTok removed because of national security concerns, but yet they allow hundreds of thousands of acres of U.S. farmland to be bought up by Chinese opportunists, Chinese purchasers? That's not a national security threat. What about all the lawmakers that have warned about some of these mysterious drones that could be owned by China over military bases that just so happens to be in the same proximity as the farmland that China has bought up? Well, let's talk about the Chinese spy balloon that this current administration, you know, the same administration that was hell-bent on bringing TikTok down. Isn't it interesting that they had no problem with this Chinese spy balloon, which by all intent purposes was trying to gather sensitive information over military bases across America? They allowed this thing to fly halfway across the country before they were forced to shut it down. And the only reason why they were forced to shoot it down is because of the overwhelming pressure that was coming against them. So you're, again, guys, things don't add up. Am I the only one that sees this? I'm going to keep asking you this. Come on, talk to me. I can't be the only one that's seeing this. Okay, I'm going to give you my opinion. I believe the real intent of why TikTok has been demonized and wants to be brought down by our U.S. government is because that app allows freedom of, watch this, unregulated news to circulate. There could be events that take place and they will circulate across TikTok and the whole world sees it, where in which our major big tech giants and social media platforms over here have heavily regulated everything that comes out of these things and goes through them. Anything you post or you share, it goes through this entire algorithm. And if it doesn't fit the narrative, it will disappear. It will fall off the grid. It will be hidden. It will be shadow banned. And no one will know what's going on except for the narrative that they give you. I'm telling you, there was events, guys, even what happened up there in the Appalachians with Hurricane Helene. I was able to pull all kinds of videos from firsthand accounts off of TikTok from people that was at ground zero that was seeing what was happening. Meanwhile, the U.S. government was telling us FEMA's got their back. FEMA's doing a great job. FEMA's right there in the middle of it. No, they weren't. And we would have never known that if it weren't for TikTok. And we could name all kinds of other events and other disasters that were in which people that was right there, eyewitness, ground zero, and they were able to use this platform to be able to get the truth out there. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to say it. Anything that the U.S. government is hell-bent on bringing down and try to tell us it's for the better of the U.S. people, that is a huge red flag for me, because since when has the U.S. government ever tried to do anything to come on for the better of us. Well, that's kind of an arrogant statement, isn't it? Now, there was a time, I'll give you this, there was a time that the U.S. government, we're talking about 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, a whole generation ago, they were for the people, and they were about helping people. But friends, times have changed. We are not your grandmother's generation. We are not your family, your father, your mother's generation. Things have changed. We now know that these organizations have all nefarious agendas behind them. Now, we can sit here all day and talk about who's pulling the strings and who is the puppet master, but I'm going to tell you something. It is very possible that Trump is now just another puppet that's being pulled by the strings. Because again, it's concerning to me that he is warming himself up with all of these big tech giants and these elites, and even especially with somebody like Bill Gates. Huge red flags to me. Now let's talk about the inauguration before we close this segment today. This whole thing is going to be interesting too. Look at this headline. I'm telling you, a lot's going down tomorrow, guys. Shock and awe, Trump plans 100 immediate executive actions, and here's what could be coming. All right, let's check this out.
In 8 days, everything changes for the United States. I don't think people know what's coming. I'm talking about a fundamental shift in America, the total destruction of the Obama-Biden era. According to sources I've spoken to, President Trump is about to unleash the largest bomb of day one executive orders that we've seen in American history. That means within 1 hour of putting his hand on the Bible, taking the keys back to the White House, President Trump is scheduled to put his name on hundreds of executive orders immediately. So buckle up, folks. This is going to be big. So let's go through some of the huge details of what we are expecting in just a week's time. So within hours of the president taking the oath of office, President Trump is set to unleash a tidal wave of executive orders, hundreds of them, designed to obliterate the Obama-Biden legacy. If past is prologue, we can actually look back to 2016 for some clues about what's coming. But make no mistake about it, this time it'll be much, much bigger. So back in 2016, Trump hit the ground running. On day one, he signed executive orders to begin construction of the border wall, withdraw the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, give the middle finger to environmentalists, expediting environmental reviews for infrastructure projects. He also froze federal hiring and took steps to undo Obamacare. Now imagine that, but doubled, tripled, or quadrupled in scale. Reports suggest Trump plans to reclassify thousands of civil service positions to ensure loyalty, reinstate travel bans to secure our borders.
So we should have a travel ban, an immediate deportation, and immediate consequences for the mother country that knowingly sends these people.
Use a machete to basically slash regulations to reignite American industry. This isn't just hitting the reset button, guys. This is smashing it with a sledgehammer. This is why the left is panicking right now. They know that within 3 hours of Trump ascending to office, he will dismantle the policies they've spent years building.
I want to interject something here. This is why it is a crucial and imperative for us intercessors, prayer warriors, to pray for Donald Trump. Because I believe, guys, he's under tremendous amounts of pressure. I believe that he is being pressured by the elites and by these people to be swayed in a direction that he probably doesn't even want to go in. But we don't know what goes behind the scenes. We can sit here and be keyboard warriors and say, well, I think he should do this, and I can't believe he's doing that. But we don't really know. We truly don't know what kind of internal pressure that this man is under. And if he's getting ready to flip, come on, the tables, as what we're seeing here with these executive orders, guys, I'm telling you, remember at the very beginning of this introduction of this podcast, I said what goes on in the natural reflects the spiritual and vice versa. So if you've got this major transition of power coming into play, there is principalities and powers at work. I'm telling you, the things that this man is going to try to reverse and dismantle, it is going to stir up the very gates of hell. And if Satan, watch this, come on, I'm not contradicting myself if you're paying attention. If Satan knows that he cannot stop Trump from dismantling some of these things, then you know what he'll do? He'll draw people into Trump's path to try to sway him or try to make him capitulate or compromise. Could this be what's going on with Gates and Bezos and Zuckerberg? And they're all, could all these guys be just the hook, the bait and hook? They're trying to trap Trump. And this is, I'm telling you, something is off. And again, I'm going to keep saying it. Again, every bell and whistle is going off, and this is not going to be just a normal inauguration. It's already unprecedented because they're moving it indoors. There's massive security risk. There's the amount of police officers and National Guards that's involved. And I'm going to show you some more stuff with that in just a second. Here, let's go on here.
The Obama-Biden era isn't just ending. It's being erased. It's a globalist agenda that is being erased, and I cannot wait for it. So what's on the table for day one of 2025? Well, let's start with immigration. It starts right there. Trump plans to reinstate travel bans, not just as a matter of policy, but as a matter of national security. Reports suggest he's preparing mass deportation, stricter border enforcement, ensuring that the Darien Gap, Panama pipeline of illegal immigration stops cold.
Number one, we're closing the border. It's going to be closed very strongly. It's going to be closed. And we're going to have to take people out that are criminals. We have people from jails from all over the world and from mental institutions. And as you know, they're going to have to be removed. And we're going to be really governed by common sense. These are the principles of common sense. We're not going to be governed by stupid people.
On the economy, expect new orders slashing regulations that have strangled American businesses. Trump's energy plan, by the way, is set to turbocharge independence by reopening federal lands for drilling, oil drilling, reversing Biden's crippling green agenda. But it's not just about oil, coal, and natural gas. It's also about critical minerals in the United States. One of America's biggest blind spots right now is critical minerals. The United States has some of the largest untapped reserves of essential minerals like copper, lithium, uranium, and other rare earth elements, which are vital from...
Which, by the way, all of these, you go research it, can be found at some of these, consequently, can be found at the site of some of these major disasters, or actually all of them. Hawaii, the Appalachians, and California. There is types of minerals that were there, that have been there. And I don't want to get into that because, again, I don't want to get flagged on that. But y'all need to go do your research on
that. Everything to construction, to computers, to EVs, to renewable energy technologies.
We're going to put the miners back to work.
Trump's focus on domestic mining isn't just about jobs. It's about securing America's supply chains, reducing our dependence on foreign nations like China for these resources. We get a huge amount of our enriched uranium, by the way, from Russia. This needs to stop right now. Let's talk about education reform. Also on the table, Trump has hinted at dismantling woke federal education policies, expanding school choice, giving
that right there, guys. You want to talk about stirring up the gates of hell? That will
parents the power to decide what's best for their kids.
Rather than indoctrinating young people with inappropriate racial, sexual, and political material, which is what we're doing now, our schools must be totally refocused to prepare our children to succeed in the world.
But it's not just at home where America has been taken advantage of. It's on the global stage as well. So let's talk about Europe. For years, the United States has been the economic engine propping up Europe. They sell us 20% of the goods. But what do we get in return? A massive trade deficit. Now, I lived in Europe for years. And let me tell you, try going to the store and trying to find like an American product on their shelves. You won't find it. You won't find anything like this. Oh, you want to pick up some Lysol? All wipes to clean your countertops? Sorry, can't buy it there in Europe. You want some like beef stock to make your soup? Sorry, not going to find it. You want some organic like half and half for your coffee? Sorry, you're not going to find anything like this. You're going to get these generic crappy European brands, whether it's laundry detergent or basic household goods. All you'll find are subpar European brands. And this isn't just anecdotal. The numbers tell the same story. Our trade deficit with Europe stands at an eye-popping $131 billion. That's not trade. It's a subsidy. Plain and simple. We are propping them up. Trump understands this better than anyone. He's not just going to level the playing field. He's going to tip it in America's favor. The days of Europe freeloading on American prosperity are over. It's not just Europe, though. Let's talk about Canada. Over the past few days, Trump's comments about Governor Trudeau have sent the liberal media into a frenzy, and of course, for good reason.
Again, guys, this is 8 days. Oh, or when was this published? This was 6 days ago. So, A lot has happened even in that 6 days.
Trump called out how the United States has essentially been subsidizing Canada's economy for years, whether it's lopsided trade deals, unfair tariffs, or energy policies that put American workers last. Canada has benefited from our generosity while giving us very little in return.
I said to Trudeau, I said, why are we subsidizing you $200 and $250 billion a year? He said, I really don't know. And I said, well, I don't know either. I said, what would happen to Canada if we didn't? He said, Canada would be obliterated if that happened. I said, then Canada should be a 51st state.
The free ride is over. Next, let's talk about Greenland. The liberal media ridiculed Trump when he floated the idea of purchasing Greenland from Denmark. But let's not forget the historical precedent here. Thomas Jefferson made the Louisiana Purchase in 1803, doubling the size of the United States for $15 million. Critics called it reckless. Sound familiar? Then there's Harry Truman, a Democrat, who proposed buying Greenland in the late 1940s because he understood its strategic importance, both from mineral resources and national security. What Trump suggested isn't crazy. It's actually pretty visionary. You might not like it. It depends on where you stand on the issue, but it doesn't matter. Greenland is rich in resources, critical minerals. Its strategic location in the Arctic makes it a key player in global security. Trump recognizes this just as Thomas Jefferson and Harry Truman did. And finally, Panama. When Jimmy Carter handed the Panama Canal back to Panama in 1977 for $1, it came with one condition: neutrality. But neutrality is a distant memory. Today, China has a significant influence over the canal, creating a choke point that directly threatens the United States' interests. But the canal isn't the only issue. Just south of it lies the Darien Gap, which we've covered extensively here on this show, a dangerous stretch of jungle that's become a pipeline for illegal immigration into the United States, including military-age men from China. Heck, even 60 Minutes, liberal 60 Minutes, highlighted this alarming trend. This isn't just about immigration, it's a national security concern.
Migrants from China are now the fastest growing group of people entering the United States illegally from Mexico.
China?
So bottom line, a massive wave of executive orders, a complete reset of failed globalist policies, and a clear plan to put America first. Trump's day one agenda isn't just about undoing the Obama-Biden era, it's about building a stronger, more independent future for this country. And as we've seen with Europe, Canada, Greenland, Panama, the message is clear. America will no longer be taken advantage of. The free rides are over.
All right, guys. So again, we're not going to go through all these. There's over 100 executive orders that will be signed. Now we know one of them is going to be to reinstate TikTok, which they already have. So there's going to come a buyer. I guarantee, I don't think they're going to allow TikTok to collapse. Because it is a major, major contributor to the U.S. economy. We don't really understand. Now, look, I know a lot of the older folks like me, you're not big on TikTok. I used to not be either until I realized, again, I don't want to rehash this, but there's a lot of information on there you can find, but you won't find on other platforms. And that's what I use it for. And we try to reach people there. We have a page on TikTok because we want to reach people that we can't reach on Facebook or Instagram or whatever the case may be, because a lot of our reach will go a lot further there on TikTok than it will on these other suppressed platforms. Okay, so I believe there's going to come a buyer. Now, who that is, I don't know. Will it be Elon Musk? Will it be somebody else? Time will tell. Now, I thought this was interesting as well. Check this out. All right, guard troops that, again, will be there at the inauguration, will wear a, quote, special patch at Trump's inauguration to make it clear they are not police. And here's the patch. So you can see a 60th presidential inauguration, always ready, always there. This is these patches that they're putting on these troops. Again, I've never seen this before. When thousands of National Guard forces and law enforcement officers locked down Washington during racial protests and the January 6th riot for 4 years ago, the blur of camouflage and helmets made it nearly impossible to tell the difference between police and troops. However, this year, again, National Guard leaders have authorized the use of a special shoulder patch with the Guard motto, quote, always ready, always there. This will to ensure that people coming to the inauguration of President-elect Trump on Monday will know who is who. Quote, is it? It is to make sure it is easier to identify who's participating for the National Guard. Again, this was according to an individual, a general of the Washington, D.C. Guard. The patch, he added, will, quote, connect each of the participants from the National Guard back to the mission, set back to what they're doing and the importance of participating in this, quote, peaceful transition. There's that word again, peace. All right, guys, I know this was a little bit longer today, but we had a lot to cover today. So, again, tomorrow is going to be one for the record. Again, stay prayed up. Keep your head on a swivel. Pay attention to what's going on. We're accelerating quickly, and I think in prophetic events, and things are happening behind the scenes. And again, I think we're transitioning to the season of peace and safety. And I think what this is going to do is a lot of people's going to, it's going to give a false sense of security. People's going to let their guard down. People, don't be surprised when you watch the news or you see social media platforms and whatever, and they're all celebrating, you know, this is the best time ever. Trump's back. It's peace and safety. It's the greatest times to be alive. And, we're back in the golden days and the golden era, and it's back and everybody's celebrating. Don't fall for this deception, guys, because sudden destruction will come. Again, we don't know when, but it's coming. And all the signs are indicating this. So listen, I want to leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, keep your head lifted up and looking up, because your redemption is drawing near. And it's not coming from Trump, friend. Your redemption is drawing near, but it's not coming from Donald Trump. Your redemption is drawing near, and it's coming from the only one that will ever bring true peace. And that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And his name is Jesus Christ. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, if you do not have our free app, I want to encourage you to swing by your app store today, Apple, Android. Again, whatever your device, pick it up today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. Every headline, every podcast, every breaking news, every prophecy viewpoint, right at your fingertips, and it's going to be a huge blessing to you. And as always, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, and informs you, all of the above, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. Maybe you didn't do this in 2024. Maybe you've been around and you've watched and you've listened and you've been a part of the program, but you've never partnered with us. We want to encourage you to pray about it and do what the Lord would have you to do and partner with End Time Headlines, because we are a partner. We're a partner based ministry. We operate out of your generous support and your partnership. And without our partners, we would not be able to do what we do, because we don't sell merchandise. No podcasts are for sale. No subscription based. The app is free. Everything is free. So if you'd like to know more about that, you can go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org. You can give there through the app. You can go to the app. You can give electronically. You can give by check or money order. And you can make it out right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we love you. We appreciate you on this Sunday afternoon. We're going to sign off for tonight. Listen, we'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern with our typical day broadcast that we do. We try to do a day one. And then, again, don't forget, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, right here live on YouTube. Our Monday night prayer will come together as a corporate body. We will pray and we will believe with one another. We call prayer requests out by name. You put in your prayer request live. We call them out by name. If you can't join us live, guys, come back and watch a rebroadcast and agree with us in prayer as we pray for you and your family, our nation, and other things that require us as believers to step out and step in faith and begin to pray and seek God for. So until we see you guys tomorrow, I pray the Lord bless you. May he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.